From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Art thou asking the reason of this, believer? Look upward to thy heavenly Father, and behold him pure and holy. Dost thou know that thou art one day to be like him? Wilt thou easily be conformed to his image? Wilt thou not require much refining in the furnace of affliction to purify thee? Will it be an easy thing to get rid of thy corruptions and make thee perfect, even as thy Father which is in heaven is perfect? Next, Christian, turn thine eye downward. Dost thou know what foes thou hast beneath thy feet? Thou wast once a servant of Satan, and no king will willingly lose his subjects. Dost thou think that Satan will let thee alone? No, he will be always at thee. For he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Expect trouble, therefore, Christian, when thou lookest beneath thee. Then look around thee. Where art thou? Thou art in an enemy's country, a stranger and a sojourner. The world is not thy friend. If it be, then thou art not God's friend. For he who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be assured that thou shalt find foemen everywhere. When thou sleepest, think that thou art resting on the battlefield. When thou walkest, suspect an ambush in every hedge. As mosquitoes are said to bite strangers more than natives, so will the trials of earth be sharpest to you. Lastly, look within thee, into thine own heart, and observe what is there. Sin and self are still within. Ah, if thou hadst no devil to tempt thee, no enemies to fight thee, and no world to ensnare thee, thou wouldst still find in thyself evil enough to be a sore trouble to thee. For the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Expect trouble, then, but despond not on account of it, for God is with thee to help and to strengthen thee. He hath said, I will be with thee in trouble, I will deliver thee, and honor thee.
Steadfast faith in God, assured and unashamed, the faith that moved the saints of old to face the sword and flame. Oh, for a faith that follows God,
Yeah.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the book of Romans as he brings a message called What's Wrong with the World and How God Will Fix It. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. Here, the Apostle Paul shows that not only human beings, but the entire created world, the very ground itself, has been affected by sin in the wake of Adam's fall. Consequently, God's originally perfect creation is in a state of degradation. Everything is running down. At the same time, we see that the redemption wrought by Christ on the cross extends to the creation as well as to mankind. As the text teaches, the creation is looking forward to that day when it will be freed from the curse, and born-again sinners will be brought into the liberty of the sons of God. Now Dr. Cairns introduces this message called, What's Wrong with the World and How God Will Fix It?
We're turning to the book of Isaiah. Our text will again be in Romans 8 as we continue down that 8th chapter of Romans. But the reading will be in Isaiah chapter 65, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 65. And we're going to take up the reading at verse 17, reading through the end of the chapter. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. We return this evening to the 8th chapter of Romans, and we're looking at the section, verse 19 through 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The subject of this text in Romans is bang up to date. A subject that, while not put in any godly, biblical or theological fashion, is nonetheless a subject that engages scientists, philosophers, the man in the street. You see, what Paul is talking about here is what's wrong with the world and how the Lord will fix it. That's the subject. What's wrong with the world and how the Lord will fix it. And in dealing with this subject, the apostle makes 4 great points in expounding one fundamental statement. The great truth that Paul is here expounding is that the entire creation is groaning under the weight of man's sin, and joins the sons of God in eagerly expecting and anticipating their glorification. The entire creation is groaning. And it's groaning under the weight and the burden of man's sin. But throughout this old universe of ours, the creation is, this is obviously poetic language, but it is in eager anticipation along with God's people for their glorification. Now, as I've said in expounding that, Paul deals with four great things. The first is the degradation of creation. Verse 20 says, the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Now the word creature is the very same word as creation. We have these two words used in our Bible reading. The creature, verse 19, verse 20, verse 21 as well. And then verse 22, the creation. It's the same word. Now, what does it mean? The whole creation. Well, it can't mean the angels. It's not speaking about an angelic creation, not including them. How do I know that? Well, I know it, first of all, because the good angels have never been brought under bondage. And this creation is a creation under bondage. It's totally unscriptural to imagine that the unfallen angels of God have ever come under bondage. So it's not speaking of them. Equally, it would be totally unscriptural to speak of the evil angels as expecting, looking forward with eager anticipation to the Lord's return and to the glorification of the saints. We know from what the demons said to the Lord Jesus that they did not look forward to that day. So it's not speaking about angels. Some interpreters have thought that this is speaking of the world of the ungodly. I don't want to go off into an excursus here, but there is in the New Testament this word world. Some people imagine when you see it, it always means one thing. The great Puritan divine John Owen pointed out that there were at least five major categories of meaning to the word world in Scripture. And it's the context that decides which one we're talking about. And don't think that that's particularly unusual. If you stop to analyze the English language as you use it every day, you would find those same categories coming into your own speech and you hardly even recognize you're doing it. But this creation here is not speaking of the world of the ungodly. The word world sometimes means that, but the word creation here doesn't. How do I know that? Well, it says here that this creation is under bondage, but not willingly. In other words, it was not through any willful action of its own. It's the result of something else. You see, sinners are under bondage. If you're not saved tonight, you need to understand that. Under bondage. Terrible bondage. But the bondage of a sinner to Satan and sin is entirely a willing bondage. Let's understand that. There's nobody who is a sinner against his will. When a man sins, he sins willfully. He is exercising the disposition of his own will in volitional choices that are his and his alone. So it's totally beside the point of Scripture, totally against it, to say that this would be the ungodly. Because the ungodly, however much in bondage, are willingly in bondage. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And again, it would be unscriptural to say that the ungodly are eagerly anticipating the coming of Christ. And they're eagerly anticipating the glorification of the saints. So the whole creation is not the creation of angels. It's not the angelic. It's not the world of the ungodly. It's not the world of the saints, because the creature is expecting along with the saints, so it's not the saints. What is this creation? The meaning, I think, is very clear. John Brown, the great Scottish theologian and commentator, put it well when he said it was the whole frame of nature apart from man, and he could have added angels. He said it's the inanimate creation. That's one side of it. And the irrational creation, that's the brute creation, deprived of reason, the animal creation. What he's saying is that the meaning of the creation here is the whole fabric of this world and indeed of this universe. And Paul says this whole creation has been made subject to vanity. Now, the word vanity has the idea of frailty, weakness. The very next verse, verse 21, gives us another look at this. And it speaks of the bondage of corruption. That's another look at the degradation of creation. What is this bondage of corruption? The word means really that this creation is held as a slave to decay. Now here we've got two elements, weakness and decay. And says the apostle, they are built into the fabric of this world. They're built into the fabric of this universe. You wouldn't think to hear it when you listen to evolutionists, because their theory demands ever-expanding volumes of energy. If evolution were true, useful energy has to be increasing constantly. Whereas one of the two most basic laws of all physical science says that useful energy is constantly decreasing. It's called the law of entropy. In other words, this world is running down. So the next time you hear a politician saying the oil supplies are finite, instead of burying your head in the sand or throwing up your hands in horror, say hallelujah. God knows what he's talking about. It's running down. I'm not going to get off onto other subjects. As it runs down, it's not going to run out. It's not going to pan out the way the ungodly scientists say it's going to pan out. It's going to work out as God says it's going to work out. And it'll not be by accident, it'll not be by nuclear bomb, it'll not be by the hand of man, but it'll be by the hand of God. He's going to do it his way. But everything is running down, subject to vanity, frailty, in the bondage of corruption. Why is this? Paul says, this is not the way it was created. It's not because of a flaw in the creation. It's not because of a flaw in the plan. It's not because something has entered in that wasn't foreseen. The Bible says very clearly that this is done by the hand of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, God said to Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Isaiah 24, verse 6 tells us, therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. Paul is saying, you look at the whole fabric of creation. It's not just man was impacted by the fall. It's not just that man was cursed because of his sin. Sin is a vicious thing, and it has cursed not just man, but his whole environment. When you look at the world, the universe in which we live, and wonder, what's wrong with the world? Why is it running down? Why are there famines? Why are there disasters? Why are there calamities? To use the famous poetic line, why is nature red in tooth and claw? Why? Because the whole creation was made subject to vanity because of man's sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.